The pace of new Ebola infections appears to have leveled off, but it's still too early to declare victory. A lot of work is going on behind the scenes on the research front. Army scientists are working on a vaccine for Ebola, with troops being deployed to West Africa to help control and treat the outbreak. Army scientists are taking the most advanced vaccines forward as quickly as possible. Dr. John Dye is the viral immunology branch chief at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or AMIRID. He explains that for the Army, research into infectious diseases has got a long history.
The U.S. Army and the U.S. military has been doing research for hundreds of years on infectious diseases. We deploy troops and service members into areas where they perhaps come into contact with infectious diseases, so it's very important that we're able to provide vaccines or treatments to allow protection to those individuals if they do indeed get deployed.
Now that there are troops already in West Africa working on the Ebola front and more to go, this research you're doing now just didn't start with that policy, which is only a couple of months old.
No, we've been working on vaccines and treatments here at USAMRIID and other places in the country for decades. The virus actually first was discovered in 1976, and as early as the early 1990s, we began development for vaccines and therapeutics, first of all because there was a potential idea that it could be a bio threat, and that is an agent that could be dispersed intentionally, but additionally, and especially now with this current infection, potentially sending soldiers or service members or healthcare professionals into an endemic region is a problem, so therefore providing a level of protection for them is paramount.
So what is the status of an Ebola vaccine?
So we've been working, and other places have been working, for the last especially decade, and there are at least six or seven different vaccines that have either been developed at USAMRIID or developed and tested at USAMRIID that are currently 100% efficacious in monkeys. So it's just a case of transitioning those into phase one clinical trials, showing with the FDA that they do not have any adverse safety events, and then eventually transitioning those into phase two clinical trials, which is actually looking at the efficacy of those vaccines against Ebola virus.
And so it would probably be a good idea to define vaccine. That is to say, it's not a medicine as a cure for someone who already has the disease, but something you would give someone who might be exposed to it?
Right, that's a great point. So there are two different components of what we're doing here. The first is a vaccine development. The second is a treatment. Vaccine is something you would give to someone prior to them being exposed to the virus. The idea would be is that you stimulate the immune system of an individual with a small portion of the virus itself. So you're just kind of getting the system ready to go and amped up just in case it does see the virus in the future outbreak.
What is the status of testing now that you know that it works in the chimpanzees or the monkeys? What is the schedule for trying out human?
Right. So phase one clinical trials have already begun for several different vaccines. I know that both the NIH and the DOD are moving forward different candidates to test in phase one clinical trials currently. They're ongoing right now at Walter Reed Medical Hospital. And eventually, once that data is accumulated, I would hope that by the spring of this coming year, if not late in the winter, we would actually be able to have something that could go into service members and potentially people in West Africa.
And how do you know a vaccine works? I mean, what's the test for the fact that it is working? You have to expose someone to the virus, right?
Right. So we use what's called the animal rule, which is basically it certainly is not an option for us to intentionally expose a human to this virus. So we basically find an animal model that is very similar in the pathology or how the virus actually infects that animal to what we see in humans. And in that case, for us, it's monkeys. So we've done a lot of experiments with monkeys. Now, but you ask a very good question, which is how are we going to assess the efficacy of this vaccine in individuals? Because Ebola, prior to this current outbreak, actually hasn't been that pervasive in the region of Africa or in the world. So therefore, how do you actually go about assessing the efficacy of a vaccine when you're dealing with something that infects a very small number of people? It becomes a very difficult issue, but the idea would be you would vaccinate a large number of people. The vaccine actually only contains one protein of the whole virus. So what you could actually look to do to see if a person has become infected after they receive the vaccine is look for the presence of other proteins of the virus to see if they've actually come into contact.
We are speaking with Dr. John Dye. He's the Viral Immunology Branch Chief of the Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. And I'm wondering, when you are developing a virus like this, what else is learned in the medical community about the virus itself or about medical procedures?
So, yeah, that's a good question. What we've learned about the virus is we've actually been able to discover many things by looking for vaccines and treatments about just basic virology of the virus itself. So what we've been able to discover in the last decade is, so what is the receptor or the protein on a human cell that actually facilitates this virus from entering into the human system? So identifying that protein actually allows us to potentially develop treatments specific to block the virus from entering that cell. So there's a lot of general basic science questions that can be answered by our vaccine and therapy development.
And you mentioned the NIH, and of course, Dr. Fauci and his crew have been pursuing the same type of goal. Is this an interagency effort? How much do you cooperate with NIH? And can, at this some point, does this blend into a single government effort?
Right. So USAMRIID is currently involved with multiple collaborations with FDA, NIH, CDC for development of vaccines and treatments to assist with this current outbreak. Specifically, there are interagency working groups that are in place and have been sharing data such that no one is, in effect, reinventing the wheel. We're sharing all this data with the hopes that we'll be able to learn from one another. This interagency communication is paramount for the rapid response in a situation like this. So sharing of that data is essential.
And what about the FDA? Are they involved as you move ahead?
Yeah, so we and others have engaged the FDA at every step of this process because it's very important that the vaccines that we currently are moving forward will be efficacious and actually cleared to be used not only in Africa but here in the United States. So they've been engaged every step of the way.
So are the clinical trials that you have begun, are they going on with the troops that are in West Africa at this point?
At this point, no. At this point, they are phase one clinical trials that are going on here in the United States and have not spread into the soldiers that have been currently deployed.
And while we have you, give us a short backgrounder on the history of USAMRIID.
So USAMRIID has developed many other vaccines and treatments that have been used in soldiers throughout the history. Some of the best vaccines, actually, and medicines have been developed by the U.S. military. If you go back to Walter Reed, a medical hospital named after Walter Reed, he was in the military, and a lot of excellent treatments and therapeutics were developed by him. Specifically, USAMRIID has developed and been essential in the testing of vaccines for anthrax, tularemia, Q fever, alpha viruses like encephalitis viruses, VE and WE. Bottom line is, our job is to prepare the U.S. service member against potential biological threats that they may come into contact either by intentional or accidental exposure. So we're an all-stop shop. We need not only look at Ebola, we look at all Category A and B biological agents.
With the clinical trials now, as you say, already underway, what is the timeline? What do you expect to have an answer?
So I would hope that by the spring of 2015, there would be situations ready to move forward and plans ready to move forward for testing vaccines in phase two clinical trials, both here in the United States and in West Africa.